Sure. My name is Jaime Alvarez. I'm the Director of Debt Management here at Oregon State Treasury and the Treasurer's Designee and Chair of the PAB Committee. For our roll call, I would like to ask each member of the PAB Committee to identify themselves for the record. Rhonda.
Rhonda Nelson, Department of Administrative Services Designee.
Teresa Diebel, Public Member.
Thank you.
Blair Sundell, Finance Manager, Business Oregon.
Thank you. So everyone should have an agenda and meeting material for the topics that we plan to cover here today. So we plan to cover the private activity bond status, the review the proposal for a PAB administrative rule amendment, and lastly, a project update from Oregon Housing and Community Services Department. I would like to remind all attendees to please mute their mics unless you are speaking. Committee members, please feel free to come off mute at your discretion. And people attending who are not committee members are asked to hold their questions until each speaker has fully presented. Thank you. As far as chair message, I'll keep it very brief, very short. I just want to thank those that have contributed to the rule amendment and rulemaking process that we have been working on. We do have a very light agenda this quarter, but we do have one more PAVC meeting left on the schedule for this year, so the work is not done yet. With that, we'll go to item number 3 on the agenda. I'll turn it over to my colleague, Sarah Badgwick from Treasury to discuss the PAB status.
All right, so 2023's carry forward status update, $287.1 million of 2023 carry forward was awarded to OHCS at the January meeting. And these figures were verified with OHCS on the 3rd. So including the project that is set to close tomorrow, they have spent $90.2 million of that 2023 carry forward. And for current allocations, there are no allocation requests for this quarter. So in April, the committee approved $32 million allocated of 2024 volume cap for Oregon Business Development Department. And then just the overall volume cap status. The 2024 volume cap for the state was $529 million. Of that, $451 million was legislatively allocated. $450 million to OHCS, $1 million to OBDD, and of that, $84.25 million has been spent so far, and of the committee's $78 million that they had to allocate, $32 million has been allocated to OBDD, leaving the committee with $46.1 million left to allocate for 2024.
Thank you. Any questions or comments from the committee members on the report?
None from me either.
Okay. Okay, great. Thank you, sir. We can go to the next item, the rulemaking update. Okay, so to recap, the 23 regular session of the legislature passed Senate Bill 225, which allows for the sub-allocation of legislatively allocated PAB authority from a state agency to another issuer. Included in your material is the hearing officer report and the final draft of the proposed amendments to the PAVC governing rules. I will note that we received a couple comments and accepted a combination of those comments in the final draft. The proposed amendments would bring in line the administrative rules to govern the sub-allocations allowed under Senate Bill 225 and establish reporting requirements. So today I'm asking for a vote to approve these amendments and modify the rules as presented. Before we go to a vote, any questions or comments from the committee members? No
comments from me.
I do have a question. I'm trying to understand the interplay between the Section 4 on sub-allocations and the reporting that is in Section 9. And I'm wondering if anything is needed to reconcile those two, because I think Mr. Harris's comments were to have all agencies giving quarterly reports, but that doesn't seem to be reflected in 9.
Section 4 does say an issuer receiving a sub-allocation must comply with the requirements as set forth in Section 9. But we didn't make any changes to Section 9.
So it depends if want regular allocations reported quarterly or formally as well as the sub-allocation.
Yeah, I think the intent was to try and have quarterly updates by sub-allocations, not necessarily the normally allocated, because the normally allocated would have that 150 days to complete and then report back or ask for an extension. I guess if we want by that to all that's allocated, we could make that change in Section 9.
Well, I think I was just trying to understand Mr. Harris's comments there, that, but if it's just intended for the sub-allocants, then we probably don't need any change there.
Harris.
comment. Sorry, Matthew Harris, Oregon Housing Community Services. Sorry, I'm off camera, but I'm in the room. My comments were really geared towards making sure that agencies are reporting these sub-allocations in a prompt manner, because with my experience at both Treasury, Housing, and with the committee, speaking as a former analyst for the committee, I thought it would be really nice just to, you know, stay on track with not having surprises at the end of the year. Knowing where the PAB money is or allocations are going. And so quarterly kind of seemed like, in my mind, the best way to keep the committee, you know, informed of which allocations our agency is making. And, you know, that would apply to others, which currently only Business Oregon, I believe, receives a legislative allocation. But that's really the only reason, is just to make sure information is getting to the right folks at a timely manner.
And as written, I think that would capture that quarterly reporting, just using housing as an example, of any allocation that housing would sub-allocate, and then that reporting would have to come back to the committee on a quarterly basis, versus the normal allocation that would still fall under the regular rule that would not be sub-allocated.
Okay. Then it sounds like some additional changes on reconciling those two is not needed, that they work together.
Okay. So with that, I'll open it up to any questions or comments from the public on these proposed rule changes. Okay. Hearing none. So is there a motion to move forward with the proposed administrative rule amendments?
I move that we adopt the final draft of the PAB Treasury administrative rules as presented.
Thank you. Is there a second?
I second the motion.
Thank you. The motion has been moved and seconded. Committee members, how do you vote? Rhonda?
Aye.
Teresa?
Aye.
And myself, aye. Motion passes. Thank you all very much. Okay, item number five, we will now proceed with an update, a project update from Oregon Housing Community Services Department. Tasha?
Hello. Let's see, I'm going to try to share my screen if that works okay. See if I can find you back. There we are. Okay. Nice to see you all today. Sorry to not be in the physical room with you all. It looks like that's a good time. For the record, my name is Natasha Detweiler-Davey, the Director of Affordable Rental Housing. I have in the Teams room here other leaders from OHCS, and I think in the room with you is Matthew Harris of our debt management group. So we'll step in with me here. I just have a really short and dense information here on the slide, largely around the current status of our 4% pipeline. And as a reminder, 4% tax credits are generated when more than 50% of the project costs are financed with private activity bonds. And so they generate 4% tax credit, which brings tax credit equity investment into the state to develop affordable rental housing. And so what you see here on the screen on the left are the resources, the private activity bond resources we have available for the calendar year for OHCS affordable housing investments. The blue bar at the bottom are the projects that will have closed calendar year through July, and that includes ones that's just about to close. And then moving forward, you see a large stack of resources that is all on track and scheduled to close in August, a little bit in September, and another large tranche in October. Into the last quarter of the year, we do have a few projects that are not meeting readiness, and those are flagged in the, on my screen, lighter green and brown bars that Excel chose for me. And those are largely not meeting readiness in terms of having funding gaps to them. And so we are exploring whether we have viable solutions to be able to get those off and developed. And you'll also notice that our pipeline here that we are working to support through this year is larger than our private activity bonds available. And so that was a strategic decision to ensure that to the greatest extent possible, we're deploying resources to get projects built. If we find that all of those projects are able to identify pathways forward, we'll remedy with moving some projects into the 2025 year. I also think as we approach the next quarter's private activity bond committee meeting, it is likely in that case that we'll be requesting additional resources that the committee may have available to allocate to support those projects. Overall, again, focusing on moving projects through and ensuring all resources are used. I did include here, this is a reprisal of a slide that you've seen before, challenges that are going on in the development pipeline. Those are persisting, and we are, from a state funder perspective, as well as lenders and project developers, all kind of recalibrating our practices to ensure that we're being responsive and trying to solve these as proactively as possible. But these are all the realities of navigating through development processes at this point. We have, since the last meeting, launched our ORCA, the Oregon Centralized Application for Affordable Housing Resources, which includes a large diversity of, at this point, grants and loan resources. We are working to incorporate, talking out of sequence of the order of the slide here, but we are working we are intending to incorporate low-income housing tax credits, including the 4% program and private activity bond placement into the ORCA. And so over the remainder of this year, we'll be updating our qualified allocation plan and initiating those discussions to do it. The centralized application in the ORCA is really designed to be a collaborative support and partner while holding accountability. So more of a managed pipeline where we are making sure that we are holding resources to be able to support projects as they are doing their diligence, working through, but not making final funding commitments until they are relatively close to closing, about 6 months out. And doing more support and endorsement versus prior approaches, which was really centered much more so on the competition component. So we're trying to do that project selection and then figure out what is viable and hold standards and consistency throughout that process. We have held resources to address funding gaps. That is occurring in our 4% pipeline as well as in other places. Not unlimited resources in that pool of funding gap funds, but is have some strategic priorities and kind of simplified, streamlined strategies that we worked with our Housing Stability Council to adopt that are guiding that. And that'll, again, as we had those projects that were not meeting readiness, and it's really most significantly about the funding gaps, that structure will provide some certainty pretty soon here for us to understand whether we are really out of sync with the resources we have available, or if that will actually attrition and move through into the next year. We are looking at building our 2025 pipeline for 4% projects. For those that have tracked the conversations for a while, this may be familiar, but if not, it doesn't matter. I can say it anyway. We had, as the private activity bonds and 4% tax credits as a consequence became oversubscribed with all of the different project financing from the state as well as local community, we had navigated to an agreement with the housing authorities of Oregon to ensure that we would be able to be the space in the state that brings resource asks and housing conversations to private activity bond committee. And that included navigating what does that agreement look like for ensuring that housing authorities retained access to the resource. And so part of that agreement that we had formally developed was included sharing an early pipeline from the housing authorities. They have done that. And so we have what we need to be able to go out to solicit and ask, for all ready projects that are able, that fit our standards, but also are able to move forward for closings next year. So we'll be doing that in the next, hopefully a few weeks, if not month. Again, I mentioned this already, are working on more broadly that update to ensure that we are adding tax credit resources, which is both this 4% tax credit associated with private activity bonds, as well as our 9% tax credit program, which is structured differently from the IRS. And so we'll be working with stakeholders and our Housing Stability Council to finalize those, all with the intent of having it follow the same kind of conceptual process and cadence of our ORCA process, so that, again, we are having clear standards and performance and accountability in that vein, but also a collaborative process to ensure projects can move through. And that is really the update from OHCS. Again, I think we would anticipate likely returning to next quarter's meeting, depending on somewhat on how these project issues resolve, but we'll be able to provide an update on that as well as our qualified allocation plan and get any other insight and thoughts from this committee before we finalize that with our Housing Stability Council. And so I think I will pause there if there's any questions or discussion, or if any of Matthew or if you have any other thoughts that you want to add to the conversation at this point.
Great, thank you. Any questions from committee members?
No questions from me.
Jason? Nor from me, thank you.
Okay, thank you. I did have one question. So, looking at this chart, August closings looks pretty large compared to what has been done, you know, year to date. Does that seem reasonable, or does that keep kind of falling back to, I guess what I'm trying to ask is, you know, I know in one of the other charts you talk about project readiness and giving them the opportunity to kind of rectify that. How, I mean, you don't have to go into specifics, but how long, and I know it's probably case by case, but how long is that usually that time frame that's given to them to rectify that? And has there been any that the funding has been removed, or where they have, you know, they have not been able to do that, where you've kind of moved on to another project?
Yeah, and I think both Ty Densenstrain, the production manager, and again, Matthew is in the room with you, and so they probably will have other thoughts to follow my comment on with. But we have, and I think last quarter I had shared that we had done a process of remedy, so issued remedy letters to projects that were non-performing on timeline. And part of that has been some projects have been removed from the pipeline, others that were streamed up and waiting. So this is the right-sized version of it. Overall, some of this is associated with how we brought these into the pipeline. And so the vast majority of these projects were brought into the pipeline when we said who is able to close this year and who is ready to do so. And so I think we are very, very much wanting to hold accountability to that, acknowledging that unanticipated things do happen, but that managing that risk and those impacts are part of the development role and the development risk that is being taken. And so we are kind of doing that calculus as we work with projects. Again, we're down to a few of these that are still kind of demonstrating that they can do it if for some additional resources, and then recalibrating on the month. I do agree it's a large stack of private activity bonds into August. Part of the timing of all of this was the sequence of when we built that 2024 pipeline. And I think, again, when we are ending up in the later half of this year to calendar next year, and it starts getting closer and closer to the end of the calendar year, knowing that projects need a good 6 months before usually, that's my rule of thumb, which is maybe nobody else's, but my rule of thumb is they need about 6 months to know that they have a calendar date and then can work to meet that. And that starts all of the right closing calls and coordination with lenders and all of the lawyers. That is why we're seeing a bubble here, because it was probably 6 to 8 months out from when they were notified that they had that calendar placement. So I think that's my overall read. I defer to Matthew and the team about the capacity for all of those transactions, but I think they do a very careful management of that. I think, and so I think I will maybe pause there. And Matthew, if you have other thoughts around the capacity for the transactions, that might be helpful.
Sure, I can comment a little bit. Sorry again, Matthew Harris, OHCS, I'm off camera. But we, you know, individual projects, you know, I can't speak to the overall, like Natasha has already mentioned about readiness and whatnot, but I think we're actively working on 7 or 8 projects, having weekly calls and preparing for issuance. The one that I personally have taken was expected to close in July, but they had it was a really aggressive schedule, and that one's definitely falling into August. Angie Cleveland sent me a message. She manages from our side most of the deals, and I think 3 of them in particular had specific HUD issues that weren't able to be resolved in a timely fashion, which is causing a couple of our May, June, July projects to continue to slip, but those are expected to close shortly. We try to manage the calendar so that we don't have any more than 2 closings in any particular week, which when they all start cramming together kind of can create a little bit of backlog on scheduling. And that's solely so our staff can manage the closings and bond counsel can keep track of documents and whatnot. It puts a lot of burden on DOJ, ORIC, and the department to close more than 2 deals in a week. Mm-hmm. So I think causing a little bit of it. But Ty, I see you came on. Do you have comments to add as well?
Deficit committee, I tied on some strained up this transaction. Theme of, you know, kind of the ones that are closing later in the year. So we have been actively, the production staff has been actively in contact with those project sponsors and getting updates. But we also have put them on notice around what setting expectations on decisions when they have to notify us if their plan is not essentially not viable to proceed. So it's been an ongoing conversation, Theo, basically throughout this whole first half of the year, and I think the picture will be much clearer by the time we report back next meeting.
Might be helpful on the chart where it says August closing meeting readiness, how to tell how many there actually are closing, because right there it shows us how, you know, 200 million ish it looks like.
Yeah.
Is going, but it might help to know, is that, you know, 5 projects? Is that 10 projects? You know, is it, then it, you can at least get a gauge of whether it's even reasonable. You know, if it's 20, I'm like, can you really do 20? Like Matthew said, you're only doing 2 per week. It shouldn't be more than about 8 probably for August, yeah. But it's hard to tell.
Absolutely. I appreciate that. And I'll make sure that when we're bringing our next update, we'll include the number count. It's in the data, obviously. And I think as Angie, who I realize is also on the call, does ensure that we hold to that standard. But I think we can make sure that we're sharing that for awareness and understanding for sure.
Thanks.
Thank you. Real quick, I will open it up for any questions or comments from the public, if there's any. Okay, hearing none. Natasha, team, thank you very much for your presentation. As always, very informational, and we appreciate all your hard work. So thank you.
Great. Thank you, committee. Appreciate it.
I believe that's it for our agenda. So before we adjourn, do we have any additional comments from the committee members?
No comment.
No comment.
Okay, great. So the time is now 10:29. Seems like record time. So I will entertain a motion to adjourn the meeting.
I move that we adjourn the July 17, 2024 Private Activity Bond Committee.
Is there a second?
I second that move.
Great. Are there any objections to adjourning the meeting? Okay. Hearing none, the July 17, 2024 Private Activity Bond Committee meeting is adjourned. Thank you very much. Thank you all.
Thank you.